Welcome back to the Ripley Recall. This podcast will focus on the people, the mission, and the innovations that make up citizen soldiers and airmen here in Minnesota. You can log in through the link in description and the latest events and activities of Camp Ripley and the Minnesota National Guard.
And welcome back to the Ripley Recall. I'm Lieutenant Rossi here with Mr. Housie, and today we have a special guest. We have two individuals from the Canadian Army. Can you guys introduce yourselves?
Yeah, my name is Corporal Noah Brown. I'm with the North Saskatchewan Regiment in Saskatchewan, Canada.
I'm Captain Saya Neaton with 18 Field Ambulance from Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada.
Well, thank you guys for joining us today. We're really excited to have you. Is this your guys' first time in the United States?
I've been quite a bit since growing up and doing road trips and stuff, but first time in a professional environment.
Awesome. What about you, ma'am?
Likewise. Been here a few times for training in Ripley and then California, and then just with my family, same thing.
Okay, awesome. And so then what kind of training are you guys doing while you're up here at Camp Ripley today?
Well, I was told about this. It was going to be a Lake Superior exercise. We were originally told that we were going to hop on helicopters and do a bunch of shooting, so I was down with that, especially going to the States and doing some travel. So I signed up pretty quick, and so far it's been a good go, just a lot of shooting. Not disappointed with that.
And what about you, ma'am?
So I'm here as the course officer for a basic training course. This is their kind of introduction to what it's like to live on a base. So we're here for the week. We participated in a couple shoots as well as CBRN, so the gas hut today.
Awesome. And so how long is that basic training course for your soldiers? Because I know for us, our active duty soldiers, National Guard, they go down to some bases down south. But for you guys actually come to a National Guard base to come do that.
Yeah. So we do. It's a co-op program. So they're high school students. So the mornings, typically our day looks like they're in high school doing their courses. And the afternoons, they come to our small armories in Thunder Bay and participate in training for the afternoons. And then this is their March break. So it's the 1 week they're here full time with us.
Okay, so how long does this program actually last for them then?
So February 14th up until April 4th.
Okay, gotcha. So they got a good chunk of time in this, but so they're halfway through right now. They can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, they can. All fun stuff here in Ripley.
Oh, that's awesome. And so like you guys were saying, this is your first time here for like a professional training here at Ripley. So what are some differences that you've already seen, you know, being here on Ripley compared to what you guys have up in Canada?
I'll let the ma'am go first with that one.
In terms of medical training, so I'm here as the course officer, but I'm also a nurse, a registered nurse in Canada. So the training here is a little wider. So they do a lot more high-speed training here than we do in Canada. They do it more often. Just lots more opportunity here for training. Thunder Bay, we're kind of isolated from everybody, so it's nice and close here. There's just a lot going on in this base for medical training, and then for the basic training, lots more opportunity for robust training.
Awesome.
Recently, we did a cooperative training with Alina Health out of Minneapolis, so we were able to go into their facility, and they kind of introduced us to scenarios that were outside the military. But it wasn't like a gunshot wound or Humvee rollover. It was more widespread training like that. Do you all do that as well in Canada and Thunder Bay?
Not quite. We don't really have the resources like they do here. So we do a lot of scenario-based training just with like a mannequin in a small room. But here we went, not myself, but members of our unit, they went over there and they got to do scenarios where there was like smoke rolling and casualties on the ground and got to actually jump in with some of the American medics. So it was super beneficial. We would like to do more training like that, but we just don't have the facilities. So it's great for us to come here and use their stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, great.
Yeah, like I said, this was a gun camp for me, but I just got off my primary leadership qualifications in Edmonton. So the base there is one of our bigger bases in Canada. So there I got exposed to a lot of things that I'm not used to, being in the reserves, which is similar to your National Guard being a part-time soldier, from my understanding. But when I was on that course, you get a lot of the vehicles, a lot of the resources, there's helicopters flying over you, which is something I'm not used to. And then coming here, seeing all the equipment that you guys are familiar with and use on a regular basis, definitely an eye opener to what a much larger military. It obviously is no secret that you guys have a military that's bigger than ours.
Maybe just a little bit.
With a bit of a bigger budget, just a small amount. It is pretty cool working alongside our allies, because I mean, at the end of the day, politics is whatever. At the end of the day, we are still allies as a force. And I've noticed that here, especially just you guys are super friendly. And it's just, it's a good wake up call. Be like, yeah, we're not all about politics. People are still people and we're able to work together. So that's been nice to see.
No, I think that's a great point right there. Like you said, you're a neighbor to the north. We have done a lot of military interaction with you guys over the years. And I think one of the things that me and Mr. Housie were talking about was, you know, no matter where you go, soldiers are soldiers. You know, I saw you guys out there last night having a good time going out for that night land nav. And it really just seems like the soldiers that you guys brought here are really down to get into training, which is really fresh to see. What about you, Mr. Housie?
Yeah, it's always interesting. There's a little bit of that standoffish bit at first. And then once you start speaking that military language that civilians just don't understand, then everybody kind of comes together like a little family, you know, banter back and forth and having fun. And yeah, I mean, the impression that we're nice and things like that is always nice to hear. It's, you know, maybe because we have nice neighbors. Well, that's probably the good thing. So it's always interesting with all the different nations' militaries that we host here, the Croatians or the Norwegians. And once we get into that military culture, it's pretty nice to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. So then, I know you guys come here about once a year and you do your trainings here. Is this really a competitive thing to be able to come down to the States and be a part of these types of trainings?
From what I've been told, a lot of it comes down to the budgets. We had some of the Winnipeg Rifles, they got pulled off just because of a budgeting issue. I don't know much of the details of that, but our units with the NSASCAR, they were hoping to get even more down, so there wasn't a budget issue there. We were trying to send more guys down. Some people got injured on an exercise in the Yukon territories where they were working on snowmobiles and doing Arctic operations. So a few guys got injured there and had to be pulled off, which is unfortunate. But we were still able to get a section down here. And I mean, the competition came in last night, and that was a lot of fun. So let's
talk a little bit about that competition. So kind of give the people an explanation of what this competition is and what you guys are trying to achieve out here.
So the competition came in due to the captain. He came up with it and kind of was on the fly. We weren't told about it coming into this, so it was kind of cool. And I mean, there's always that friendly competition between the different units, whether it's the LSSR, the Triple R's, or the NSASCAR. So we came into it, let's see what we can do. It was going to be a patrol competition, which worked out to be more of a skills comp, which can result or ended up being a test of shooting, test of navigation, endurance and cardio, as well as strength. And then finally taking apart a rifle and putting it back together blindfolded and seeing who could do that the fastest. So a lot of different skills came into play. What I was talking about with the guys after last night is every one of our teams got first in a different category. So it's really cool to see where everybody shone and where their skills really came to life. So obviously we had a team that went off to Bisley over in, was the UK or Europe, somewhere in Europe there, but the Bisley shoots. So we had a team of those guys. They obviously won the shooting competition. Another team won the strength competition, pulling the Milcot or one of our vehicles with a rope. And then my team won the land navigation last night. So that was a really nice feeling to go to bed with.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of land navigation, we came out there to kind of see you guys. And when we got out there, I realized I just did this land navigation course last summer. And it's not an easy course. And especially at night, those are some nasty hills that you guys had to climb up, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. There was I had a few cartoon moments where your feet are just slipping underneath you. And I think all of us biffed it a few times. We were looking at some of our injuries this morning, and one guy just has cuts all the way up his back from when he slid down the hill. So that was pretty fun to see. But, I mean, we're all sore, but it was a good time nonetheless. And we all learned a lot, especially using our equipment. I realized that I didn't even know how to use night vision. So one of my buddies there, one of my friends there, he showed me how to use it and ended up getting us the win. So,
well, I was going to say, you guys went out in teams of four last night. And how important was that for you guys to kind of work together? You know, when you got four people that think they know what they're doing, they can get personalities can get in the way. So how did you guys get around that to making sure you got to exactly where you needed to go?
Yeah, it definitely came down to teamwork. Obviously, being part-time soldiers, we have to learn off each other. So some of us are taking different courses. So some of us are going to develop at different rates and develop in different areas. So learning to be a team is huge, especially with last night. My navigation was pretty good, but there was definitely some some growing pains at the beginning, being that we haven't done this in a little while. So last night we took a bearing. We actually had the grid wrong off our first, and we realized after stepping off, you're like, this does not look right. So we had a few spits back and forth, like, oh no, we got to go this way. How about you just shut up? Just let me think. Let's look at this map. Let's figure out where we are.
Let's sit down on the road.
Back,
yeah,
before get we back to the basics. Yeah. Once we got past that point, we heard on the radio that somebody had already hit 2 points, and we aren't even at our first yet. So we're like, oh man, like guys, we're not going to win this. Let's just go back to the basics. We're not winning, so let's just make this a good training environment. So I think by going back to those basics and actually just fundamental soldier skills, we actually ended up taking that win and getting ahead, because once we went back to the basics, we were okay, this is the process, here we go, steady one after another. And it was kind of like the tortoise and the snail, or the tortoise and the rabbit. We just one after the other were able to get our points and take that win. So
that's awesome to hear. You love hearing stories like that, Mr. Hauser.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, getting back down to the basics on it. We always try to rely on so much technology and whatnot, but sometimes you got to do it the hard way.
Yeah.
So is the second and third order intent on this to bring it back to your unit and kind of pass some of this knowledge and experience down once you get back?
Definitely. Like that's the goal with any kind of exercise, any type of course, you're bringing that back to your soldiers. Even me getting off my primary leadership qualifications, putting people in a role higher than what they're used to put that pressure on, give them those skills and maybe that confidence. So definitely that's the goal at the end of the day, is just to share those skills and share that learning so that everybody else can succeed.
And so how long have you actually been in the
Army Reserve? So yeah, I've been in this for coming on, well, since 2020 is when I took my infantry qualifications. Or DP1. So I've been in about 5 years. And when I first started, I was actually with the Royal Westminster Regiment in British Columbia, if anybody knows where that is, but transferred after I moved provinces and got in with the NSASCAR, which has been a good time since then. So 3 years with the NSASCAR.
And you do this part-time then. What's your full-time job?
Full-time job, I'm with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So that's our federal police
the Mounties.
Service, the Mounties.
I've seen the boots and the hats and everything.
Yeah. So I got the poofy pants and the Stetson. It's a really good job there. So I love to work, love to do the overtime, love to put all that effort. And there's a lot of transferable skills with these careers. So I really appreciate that aspect as well.
I was going to say, a couple of your guys last night, I was talking and they were all part of the police force in Canada. So I'm just, every person I met now, ma'am, are you part of the police force?
No, I'm a nurse.
Okay.
How long have you been in it?
10 years, so I did the co-op program in 2015, the same as these basic training troops here. And then, 10 years, and then I work as a registered nurse on the side.
Awesome.
Yeah, what's coming up for you? What's your career goal and whatnot with the reserves?
I like the reserves, just, I can do full-time here and there and then show up when I want kind of thing. So just ride it out, get as many experiences in as I can, like, training like this is super fun. I went to California on Exercise Global Medic last year. Really good training opportunity. There's just so much that I don't get civilian side that I can get through the reserves, paid travel, and lots of extra training. So it's kind of my goal. I don't really have an end state or anything yet, but just to continue with it, supplement my nursing career with it for the time being.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Great. What about you?
Career-wise, like, obviously this is my part-time gig, but for me, I often ask the question, like, why do I stay with it? And I think it comes down to just the belief that life can get too easy sometimes. And I think every citizen in any country has a duty to protect their own country, protect their own sovereignty. So I think keeping my eyes open to the fact that anything could change at any time, and having the base skills to rely upon and go back to is important for anybody to have. So I think that's why I stick with the military, is just that fundamental duty.
Yeah, no, that's great. And like you said, we're in an ever-changing world. A lot of things are going on right now.
Yep.
And I think from our perspective, too, in the Minnesota National Guard, being able to have a very strong partnership with you guys. And like you were talking about, you're doing a lot of Arctic training. The Arctic's becoming a very contested area of recent. So do you do a lot of Arctic training, or how does that play out?
I can't really speak to it myself, because I have to be honest, like, I don't do a lot of Arctic training. Even when I first started the military in the Royal Westminster Regiment, we never really got too much snow there, so I was never even issued winter kit. until I came here. But since then, it's definitely been an eye-opener. We did my leadership qualifications, which was 5 days straight of doing stability operations in upwards of minus 10, minus 15. So that was definitely a tough go. But we had some of my buddies in my unit. They went into the Yukon, and having to operate in those climates where you can't take your gloves off for too long, you have to learn how to operate your gun. It's just even learning how to shoot with snowshoes on, with layers of parka, and then working with snowmobiles, that is a whole different world that I think is more of a specialty than anything.
And when you say negative 10, negative 15, you're saying Celsius, right?
Celsius,
okay, yeah. I was going to say.
And that's not even as cold as it got. When I was on that course, it got as low as minus 33, and we were still going outside, so.
Gotcha, okay. And then, ma'am, do you any winter training like that, or are you guys practicing for any of those kind of things?
I myself haven't done any actual formal winter Arctic training, but just Thunder Bay, just kind of on the North Shore, Lake Superior, it gets pretty cold. So just our day-to-day operations doing
Your day-to-day is just winter training.
It's basically winter training, yeah. We do run a course that's a cold weather operator just to kind of get all the troops used to living and working in an Arctic environment, learn how to wear the kit, the snowshoes, the mukluks, but that's a course after basic training, but we do offer it. But yeah, typically the day-to-day is pretty cold, hanging out outside.
Awesome. Well, we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk to you a little bit more about how your training's going here at Ripley. This is Lieutenant Rosso. Thank you, and we'll be right back.